Blog Talk Radio.
For my soul,
just for my soul,
and I'm tired of crying all night just for my soul.
Gave my body and my soul away. So now I come to you just to behold, heal my soul.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Blog Talk Radio, September 30th, 2023. Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are taking charge and living life to the fullness. I am your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor the host on today, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have an anointed, spirit-filled lesson today, so let's get right to it. Announcements. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send your donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois 60643. Thank you to those that have sent in a donation. They are well appreciated. Classes will be starting soon, and we are open to topic suggestions. To everyone listening to Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in the continuing months of 2023. And if you're blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584. Or email us at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, Amazinggraceministries @gmail.com. We're on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning, and we have exciting lessons, so please tune in. And if you would like to connect to this lesson live, the link is http://tobtr.org facebook.com/s/272931. Let's get to the explanation of the lesson. We have a word on today that will illuminate your heart and lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ to end your suffering. We will take you on a journey in the word that will give you greater peace, greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we set the pace for victory. We are fighting the good fight of faith and using our spiritual weapons. The theme for this month of September is All Eyes on Jesus. The lesson for last Saturday in September is Spiritual Circumcision, Heart Conscious. Our text is coming from Romans, the second chapter, the 12th through the 24th verse, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they never had God's written law, and the Jews who do have God's law will be judged by the law when they fail to obey it. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it, to demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing wrong. And this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Jesus Christ, will judge everyone's secret life. Now, the Jews and the law, verse 17. You who call yourselves Jews are relying on God's law, and you boast about your special relationship with him. You know what he wants. You know what is right because you have been taught his law. You have convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for the people who are lost in darkness. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God, for you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. 21. Well, then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it is wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from pagan temples? You are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scripture says the Gentile blasphemed the name of God because of you. Romans 2, 28 and 29. For you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. Let's get into the introduction. Now, the Bible teaches us that people were made in the image of God. To understand this principle is to realize that no other creation made by God has the spiritual attributes God has given to humanity. Simply put, no other creature has the spiritual capacity or needs the reconciliation necessary to be made whole in the eyesight of God as we do. We are unique in the sight of God, and as a result, we can conclude that God's desire a more special relationship with his most prized creation than he has with the rest of his creation. God has always expected us to be great, and he knew what it would only happen according to his divine will to accomplish greatness. From the beginning of God's thoughts, we have been willed to be a standout creation, presenting him like no other creature. Prosperity, provision, and protection was always his plan to make us whole again in his sight. God did not create us with filters to cover up our discrepancies. Truthfully, he used those discrepancies in us to expose the reasons we need him so much. We must understand that wholeness does not come without the Lord's redemptive work plan by God himself. My wholeness would only be predicated on the love of God, his vision, and the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ to pull humanity back from our sinful nature in life. Let's look at history. The book of Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament, believed to have been written by the Apostle Paul. Romans 1:1 in A.D. 57, near the conclusion of his third missionary journey, he wrote it while he was still in Corinth, along with his secretarial assistant Tertius. Romans 16:22. It was delivered by Phoebe, a servant of the church at Caesarea, the port of Corinth. Romans 16:1, according to Acts 20:3, Paul spent 3 months in Greece prior to his trip to Jerusalem. It may well have been at this time that he wrote Romans. Unlike Paul's other letters to the churches, Paul did not organize the Roman church, and he had never met the congregants of these churches. Paul, a great missionary who was hoping to see the Christian community at Rome personally as he traveled northward to Spain, Romans 15:23-24. The book of Romans is referred to as a theologic textbook because of the thoroughness by which Paul rationalizes the Christian life. It was not Paul's first letter, but it is a letter that the church had adopted as a prominent and informative writing regards to souls of Christians. It is the longest letter, and some consider it the most extensive, substantial, and influential letter written by Paul. The Roman epistles, as with all of Paul's letters, were targeted according to the needs of the specific church. He purposed this letter to the Roman Christian community as a validation of God's saving works in Christ. This message was not exclusive to the Jews. It was also significant for the Gentiles. I have some key characters. The Gentiles, all people who were not Jews. They were often viewed as a group from which the Jews needed to separate themselves, them relatives to religion, marriage, and politics. They were not from the lineage of Abraham. Jews are members of people and cultural community whose traditional religion is Judaism and who trace their origin to the ancient Hebrew people of Israel, to Abraham. They were the Israelites of the Old Testament. Paul, also called Saul of Tarsus, was a Christian apostle. Paul, is also called Saul of Tarsus, was a Christian apostle who spread the teaching of Jesus to the Gentiles in the first century world. He started as one of Christianity's most zealous enemies and a persecutor of Christians. But he was handpicked and blinded by Jesus Christ to become the gospel's most ardent messenger. While en route to Damascus, he had an account with Jesus that converted him and led him into becoming apostle to the Gentiles. He traveled tirelessly through the ancient world, starting more than a dozen churches and writing 13 books of the New Testament. The community of Rome. The Roman Christian community consists of Jews and Gentiles alike. The two groups had opposing views relative to the covenant of God, the fellowship of the Mosaic law, and what was necessary for salvation. The Jewish Christians saw the covenant as an agreement between God and themselves, and Christianity was an extension of Judaism for them. Judaism is characterized by believing in one supreme God who revealed himself to Abraham, Moses, and other Hebrew prophets. It constitutes a religious way of life and strictly adheres to Jewish laws and traditions. Gentile Christians, on the other hand, saw the Jewish law as a yoke and believed in the gospel that allowed freedom from the law. They perceived the Jewish Christians as weak and naive to the unnecessary bondage that imposed upon themselves regarding the observance of the law as a way of life. As with all of Paul's letters, he proposed his words to discuss the specific problems of the church to whom the letter was addressed. Roman Christians was divided, and Paul wanted to share the good news of the gospel. Not knowing them personally, Paul wrote to inform them that Jesus is Lord and there is oneness in him. He also maintained that the righteousness of God is available to everyone who comes to Christ through faith. With the efficiency of prosecuting attorneys, he made the case that traditions such as circumcision, separation from sinners, and forbidden food have no impact on salvation. All believers are true children of Abraham, the father of faith. Works cannot save humanity. Paul argues that Jews and Gentiles are both guilty of sin, and because God forgives sins, they are likewise equal in receiving salvation through faith. The two groups were judging each other, so Paul's letter was a redirect towards God as the only qualified sinless judge. When humans judge each other, they also condemn themselves because all are guilty of sin. Salvation is a matter of the heart. 3 points to be discussed. Everyone will be judged. Romans 2, 12 through 16. The Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. In writing Romans 2 and 12, Paul was informing the Roman Christians that although they were not given the Mosaic law, they would not escape judgment. Their judgment would not be based on the Mosaic law. However, they were still expected to live instinctively by the law. The ones that hear the law are not deemed righteous. It is those individuals who do what the law says that are classified as righteous. When the Gentiles obeyed the law, it was proof that the law was written in their hearts. As a result, they could receive the gospel and then be judged according to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. What is the redemptive work of Jesus Christ? The redemptive work of Jesus Christ is the act of God saving us from the power and penalty of sin through the death and resurrection of his Son. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins by becoming a curse for us on the cross, Galatians 3 and 13. Galatians 3 and 13, and this is the King James Version, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people who are zealous for good works, Titus 2 and 14. Titus 2 and 14, King James Version says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He also reconciled us to God and restored his original purpose for creation, Colossians 1, 19 and 20. And it reads, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ is not only a historical event, but also a present reality for those who believe in him. He continues to intercede for us as our high priest and advocate, and he empowers us by his Spirit to live in holiness and righteousness. Hebrews 7, 25, 1 John 2 and 1. Romans 8 and 11, Hebrews 7, 25, and I will be reading from the King James Version. Hebrews 7, 25 said, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. 1 John 2 and 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Romans 8 and 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ is also a future hope, as he will return to judge the living and the dead and to establish his eternal kingdom of appearance of peace and justice, Acts 10, 42. Revelation 11, 15. Acts 10, 42 says, and he condemned us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and they were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The redemptive work of Jesus Christ is the greatest demonstration of God's love, grace, and glory, and the ultimate reason for our joy and praise. Every believer should practice what they teach, Romans 2:21-24. As Christians, we should never be deemed as hypocrites. Paul was charging the Jews with hypocrisy. The law exposes us to our nature to sin. However, upon our confession and belief in Christ, we are to be grounded in the world and to be examples, living out the principles we preach and teach to others. The ultimate joy in living a life of redemptive is watching the redemptive work of Christ, making a change in our lives of those who wholeheartedly receive the gospel and then apply its principles to our lives. As disciples of Christ, we must always remember that we may never be a perfect example, but because of the redeeming efforts of Christ through his word, we can be the best example that people may see. Then as a result, they will begin to glorify God through our living. The Bible has many verses about letting your light shine for God and others. Here are some of them. Matthew 5:14-16 say, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." John 8:12 says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Isaiah 60:1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Psalms 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Ephesians 5:8 says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world in the Lord. Walk as children of light." These verses show that God is the source of our light. He wants us to reflect his light to the world by living according to his word and doing good deeds that honor him. By letting our light shine, we can also inspire others to seek God and his salvation. Everyone must live according to their belief in Christ. Romans 2:28-29. Every Christian must understand that whatever desires inhabit our hearts will make our outward expression. Paul suggests that Jews should not be counted as Jews from outward appearances. Neither should their loyalty to Jewish beliefs be validated by an outward expression of circumcision. To demonstrate their Jewish beliefs, Paul suggested that Jews validate their rights because of the circumcision of the heart, and they in return seek the praise from God and not from humanity. Heart occurs over 1,000 times in the Bible, making it the most common anthropological term in the scripture. It denotes a person's center for both physical and emotional, intellectual, moral activities. The heart refers to the center part of a person. The heart is the nature of a person. And to know the heart of someone is to know that person's innermost character, feeling, or inclinations. Proverbs 4:23-16-1. Proverbs 4:23, and this is the King James Version, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Proverbs 16:1 says, "The preparation of the heart in man and the answers of the tongue is from the Lord." Now, the heart of God is the essential of who he is, what he desires, his will, and his purpose. We must operate with the heart of God. This is done by reading the Bible, knowing Jesus, and spending time in prayer. A person can know the heart of God. In conclusion, Michael Jackson sang a blockbuster song titled "Man in the Mirror." He was asking himself to change his ways. This is a gist of what Paul was asking the Jews and Gentiles to do. Look at the man in the mirror. We will sometimes laugh and cry if we are truthful with the person in the mirror. There are times when we will be proud, and at times there will be shame. Our mirror is our conscience. The conscience will not die or deceive us. We cannot defraud our conscience. When faced with the right questions, the conscience will reveal the true you. Paul set his Jewish constituents up with a series of right self, evaluated questions. His mission was to challenge their beliefs that they were above being judged for their sins. We are not justified according to our due diligence and loyalty to the law. We are justified by life that centers on a commitment to God's will, which may reveal itself through our works because of our faith and sacrifice and rising of Jesus Christ. God alone is qualified to determine if our works mirror our hearts. It is a matter of the heart. On the day of judgment, God will judge everyone based on what we have done in our bodies that he has loaned to us. No one will be able to escape judgment. Not you, not Jew, not Gentile, no one anywhere, not even me. Now is the time to prove our loyalty to God through our living. An outward expression of righteousness will not prove a righteous heart. The inward expressions of the circumcisions in our hearts shall expose our true allegiance to God. The Lord's judgment will be based upon the matter of the heart, and everyone blessed to live will one day meet this judgment. To have a circumcised heart, that he relinquished the stubborn disobedience and is free to love God without limits. That is what we are called to do as believers in Christ Jesus. Luke 22:42, and this is the King James Version, it says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, before we begin to ask you for anything, just allow us to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are, because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. Lord, you are the Lion of Judah, and we come to say thank you on this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for waking us up this morning. You didn't have to do it, but you did. Lord God, we just asking you, Lord God, to forgive us. Forgive us for any sins we have committed, knowingly and unknowingly, God. And then, Lord God, forgive us for our slothfulness, Lord God, for our shortcomings, Lord God. Lord God, for not doing the things that we knew to do that was right and we didn't do them, God. Lord God, we asking for forgiveness on this morning. And then, Lord God, we just asking you to look on Dr. Carrie today, Lord God. Just bless her and all her future endeavors, Lord God. And then, Lord God, we asking you to look on the listeners one by one, name by name, God. And then, Lord God, I ask you to look on my leaders, God, the administrative assistant superintendent, Dr. Byron Gibbs and Lady Gibbs, Lord God. Look on my assistant pastor, Elder Reginald Johnson, and his wife, Evangelist Johnson. Lord God, look on the mothers, Lord God. Look on Mother Garnett, Mother Luckett today, God. Lord God, look on Mother Norman today, Mother Esther Moore. Look on Mother Florida, God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for all the mothers, God. Look on Mother Carpenter, God. You know what they need, Lord. Do it for them. Touch them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. And Mother Carrie on this morning, Lord God. Touch her body, God. Give her the strength that she needs, God. And then, Lord God, we just ask you, Lord God, to look on the ministerial staff, God. Look on Dad Rogers this morning, God. Look on Dad Ellis, God. You know what they need. Mighty men of God. Oh, God, look on them, God. Strengthen them. Strengthen the bodies, God. And then, Lord God, look on the doorkeepers, God. Hallelujah. The missionaries, Lord God. Look on the musicians, the lay members, God. Look on all your people. God, look on our grandchildren. Look on our children, God. Lord God, we ask you to cover the children as they go back and forth to school, Lord God. Look on us in our homes, God. Bullets are coming through the doors, the windows, the walls. Oh, God, cover your people today, God. Oh, God, we just asking you, Lord God, to look on those that's out robbing and stealing people, Lord God. Oh, God, the people out there with this spirit of entitlement, God. Oh, we know that you are still in control, God, and we just thank you for it on this morning, Lord God. And then, Lord God, we just asking you to be with us on today, God. Lord God, and then carry us over tomorrow. Give us the strength to get up and go into the house of prayer in the morning, God. And we're giving you all the glory. We're giving you all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We just thank you for tuning in today to Blog Talk Radio, where your host is the Dr. Maria Cherry, who is the president and CEO, and today was your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. And we just want you to tune in on next week. Dr. Cherry will be back at 9 o'clock next Saturday morning. Enjoy your day. Always remember, no matter what, God is still in control. And we just asking you all to tune in next week. Have a blessed day.